General Younger, Reel 3. One of the aspects of the combined training, the brigade and divisional training, which interests me is, since it brought you into close contact with elements of the Royal Tank Corps,
yes,
it obviously would give you an opportunity to compare, at this stage before the outbreak of war, your effectiveness with theirs. And I wonder whether, casting your mind back, you'd like to make any comments about what you think the comparison was. One might, for example, take the various things like driving, maintenance, communications, gunnery, and so on. How do you think you compared in these
armored
skills?
Well, I think maintenance was certainly, they probably lost fewer tanks than we did, certainly. They were more experienced with them. And probably their control was a bit better. I don't think their wireless was any better, and of course gunnery one doesn't know about. But I would say that they did move better in the desert than we did to begin with. I think later on we probably caught up. And they lost fewer tanks, certainly from mechanical breakdown, because our maintenance was better until we learnt our job a bit. I think we've had pretty old tanks too, as far as I remember, to learn on.
Can you remember any specific examples, perhaps during the brigade and divisional exercises, when a particular event gave you personally an opportunity to see your own skills at that stage in the light of RTC unit skills?
Well, I suppose I realised that we had quite a bit to learn still, but that we were learning and improving all the time, making the best use of the limited training we could have in the desert. Mistakes were made. Probably rashness, mainly.
I asked a similar question to an RTC officer who shall remain nameless. I asked him how, during this combined training phase, he got on working so closely as he had to then with cavalry officers. And he said, well, they were very nice and very kind, inviting us into their mess, but we always did rather feel like poor relations. And I wondered whether, how on the other side of the coin you felt in your relations
with... Well, I hope not. And if there was any case of that, it completely disappeared after 1942, when we went to Burma with the brigade with the 2nd Royal Tank Regiment, just the two regiments, the 7th and 2nd Royal Tanks. And after that, we had the most enormous respect for them, and we were very good friends with them all, too.
But at this stage, in the late 30s...
Well, I dare say there was. I dare say that you could perhaps say a suspicion of that.
Yes. I mean, did you find, for example, that perhaps you didn't have a lot in common?
Didn't what?
Didn't have a lot in common.
I think that was it, really, probably. I think.
Looking back at that that training period, that initial training period up to and including divisional level, do you think that your regiment's experience and training as a horse unit had any direct relevance or value when you came to operate tactically with tanks?
A reconnaissance, certainly. To use your eyes, if you see what I mean, to always be on the alert. That part of cavalry training, which was a central part of cavalry training. I think that was vital.
And this was just as important with tanks?
Yes. It was just as useful. Just as useful in tanks, perhaps more so.
Any other aspects of cavalry training which proved to be directly useful in your mechanized state?
No, of course, principles of war are very much the same, aren't they, whatever your arm is? I don't think so.
What about the other side of the coin? Were there any cavalry habits which turned out to be downright unuse? I say, what about the other side of the coin? Were there any cavalry, old cavalry habits that were downright... You can see what I'm driving at. Any cavalry habits that actually proved to be rather a problem until you got rid of them? You mentioned one a bit earlier, I think, when you said that there was an element within the regiment who were very keen on mobility to the detriment of control.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of a cavalry instinct, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I just wondered if there were any other cavalry instincts that proved a bit of a disadvantage in that way.
Well, possibly initially an unwillingness to move at night in the dark, because when the cavalry didn't do that in the past with horses. I think that might have... we soon got out of that habit, of course, before war came.
Was there, during that period, any nighttime navigation equipment?
No. Other than there was just a compass, that was all. It wasn't.
Yes. Have any searchlights?
I don't remember any night time. I think there was some kind of distinguishing light, and you... I don't think there was any good night. It was rather by guess and by God. Mm. Navigation in those days, in the night. We came better later on, of course.
Yes. Looking back on that whole period up to the outbreak of war, what, in your opinion, was the effect of mechanization on the morale of the regiment?
Well, it was very good by the time war started, I think. Morale, I would say there was a bit of a drop when mechanization came, naturally, of disappointment, losing horses and so on, but I think once we were trained and had confidence in ourselves and that we could manage tanks, find a way about it, I think morale was very high when the war began. And it's a good, it was helped by a certain amount of contempt for the Italians too.
Yes. Did the actual process of mechanization prove more or less painful than might have been expected in 1936 when the announcement was made?
I think less painful.
Sort of fear of the unknown a bit.
There were a few who couldn't assimilate it, but they just disappeared. One or two officers and some older soldiers.
Good.